Good morning. I did walk down the hall, and our room is the fullest. So I guess that's a good sign. Statistics bright and early on the last day of conference. So we'll work with that. I am delighted to talk to you about a model that I developed for to illustrate the relationship between access, accessibility, and health status. This model is based on a data set that our center at Texas A&M collected from a population health assessment we conducted in 2013. So I have no relationships to disclose. I also want to acknowledge our funder, which was the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and that's specifically through the Prevention Research Center program. So before I get into the meat of our presentation and the analyses that I ran, I want to give a little bit of context and an illustration of what the theory of the problem is in access, specifically in Texas. So Texas actually ranks 50th in the U.S. for access and affordability of healthcare services. And the data I'm going to be speaking about specifically is from a region in East Central Texas called the Brazos Valley. It is a 7-county region. 6 of those counties are rural by definition, according to HRSA, and they're surrounding a urban hub, which is where Texas A&M is located, and that is Brazos County. This region is located within what we in Texas like to call the Texas Triangle. That's pretty much in the center of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Houston area, and then the Austin and San Antonio area. So in our health assessment, we found that across the region, about 11.1% of the population rated their access to health service as poor. And then we found that in the rural area specifically, that rate increased to 14.6%. So I wanted to explore that disparity a bit further and determine why. So to give you a little bit more context, this is some other data we have from our population health assessment. Questions asking about poor or fair health status across the region, and then specifically within the rural communities, that rate increased to 15.1% for rural residents. When I looked at the residents who were of minority populations, uninsured, and then below the poverty level, those rates continued to rise. The same is true with individuals who reported not having a regular health care provider, those that delayed costs because of medical care, and then most specifically, which I'm going to talk about today, those that rated their access to health care services as fair, poor, or very poor. And so we're going to really explore this bottom one in detail. So a little bit about the theory of the problem about access. Traditionally, the literature defines access to healthcare in 2 main elements. The first is those that are socio-organizational. So these are mostly resources that either facilitate or hinder individuals from obtaining care. And then there's a geographic function of access, and that is what most of the definitions, according to HRSA, Office of Rural Health Policy, use when they define rural areas or non-metropolitan areas. And that is the function of the amount of time it takes and the physical distance that residents have to travel to access services. So in addition to the definitions of access, there's a couple barriers that the literature identifies in accessing services. And those are financial barriers, so not having the means to pay for healthcare, organizational services, so maybe not being able to miss work. There's the cultural and the social elements that are barriers in terms of maybe it's not acceptable within the culture to access certain services. And then when looking at the access the theory describing access overall, I find this quote most interesting, and that is, it is perhaps most meaningful to consider access in terms of whether those who need care can get into the system or not. So regardless if you're geographically able to access services, if you can't get into the system, then you still are going to have poor access to health care. So based on these definitions in the literature, I explored how access was actually measured in past research. And so not surprisingly, based on those two categories of access definitions, it's been mostly measured in terms of utilization, and that is based on the affordability, the accessibility, and the acceptability of services, as well as the supply of services within the areas residents live. And then second, based on that availability or the travel time that it takes to get to a provider, accessibility or the number of providers within 30 minutes of travel time. And this is the part that HRSA actually used to define medically underserved communities. So to me, when looking at this and contextualizing this within the population we're serving in the Brazos Valley region of Texas, there was some not errors necessarily, but maybe some missed elements in the model. So what my colleagues and I did at Texas A&M is we proposed three different access to healthcare service models to measure how access and accessibility actually influence health status of residents. And then we tested those models to determine which one had the best fit. So this is mostly conceptual in nature, but we did try to determine which models had the best fit for our data. So accessibility, we separated this out from access because we thought it was very important, and it's something that's missing mostly in the literature. This accessibility really illustrates those barriers that I discussed a couple slides back, barriers to healthcare that include cost, transportation, distance, and time. So we do consider that geographic function of access in this category, but we do think that it's a lot different than the term access in general. So access we define mostly in terms of having adequate health care coverage. And then health status we measured using the CDC's health-related quality of life scale. So to model the theory that we developed, we used the sample that we created through our population health assessment, and that's residents within the Brazos Valley region, and that was seven counties. So we had a sample size of almost 5,100 residents. We collected the data through surveys, and it was actually administered by a survey company in Iowa. And then to analyze the data, we used structural equation modeling, mostly based on the need to look at latent models and latent variables and measured variables. And then we estimated the measurement model with the best fit for rural residents. I say rural and urban residents, but that's part of my limitations at the end because none of the models actually fit the urban residents. So these are the hypothesized models that we developed. There was three of them, and they all illustrate different relationships between the availability of healthcare services, and that's defined mostly in terms of barriers, and then that access to healthcare and their relationship with health status. So you see in Model 1, we look at barriers to healthcare more as a mediator function between health insurance and health-related quality of life, but we also consider there to be a relationship directly between coverage and health-related quality of life. In Model 2, we took out that relationship between access and availability. And then in Model 3, we just looked at health insurance related to barriers and then barriers influence on health-related quality of life. So we put the mediator relationship back in. So I'm going to go over the model that we determined have the best fit. And if you would like more detailed analysis information, then you can read our manuscript when it comes out. But we found that Model 1 actually did have the best fit statistics. So we estimated about 54 sample moments and then 26 parameters. So I had a remaining 28 degrees of freedom. Our RMSEA was 0.06, so it had a relatively good fit to the data. Compared to Model 2 and 3 that I tested, their RMSEA statistics were about 0.07. My NFI was 0.93, which was higher than both Model 2 and 3 as well. And then my chi-square statistic was relatively high compared to the degrees of freedom I had available, and that was a statistically significant relationship. So based on these models and what our data told us, our findings really are that barriers to healthcare are that accessibility factor to health services are mediator to health-related quality of life, especially in rural areas. So now that we know that insurance coverage is strongly related to health-related quality of life, that confirms what we typically consider access models in the U.S. But we also know now that if residents do have that insurance coverage, but they still aren't able to access services due to barriers that they're experiencing, their health-related quality of life is still going to be poor. And then primarily in the U.S., as we know with the implementation of the Affordable Care Act and other system-level implementations recently, we know that our healthcare model for access is mostly based on availability of insurance coverage. So we need models like this and others that describe the relationships of barriers in terms of access and insurance coverage to fully understand health disparities that rural areas experience. And then future research, and these are some things that we're working on currently, we know that medical care is not the only determinant to health, and it doesn't guarantee health. It's more of a downstream approach. So we lack a general understanding of upstream causes and how health interacts with those downstream causes like access to health care. So there are a couple limitations that we have in our models, as I mentioned previously, is that when I tried to model the urban data, it actually didn't fit these models at all. It was purely a relationship between insurance coverage and health-related quality of life. So I actually did that through regression analyses instead of structural equation modeling. But I wasn't able to compare the two populations in this specific analysis. So I will be working on future research to determine a model that better fits urban residents. And then this use of structural equation modeling doesn't consider the clustering effects by county. As I mentioned, our region does have 9 counties. So I was assuming that all rural areas act similarly. So currently I'm working on hierarchical linear modeling to look at the different zip codes and how that affects the access to healthcare. And this is my references. So.
Questions from Ms. Garner?
Yes. I didn't. I'm not a big fan of likelihood ratio tests, in all honesty. I use structural equation modeling in this, but my area is mostly in systems research, so I look more at data that maybe or may not be correlated. I did not do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think it needs improvement a bit more. I think my RMSEA could be lower, and my NFI could be higher. So I think it's relatively good fit. I might have actually had a typo on that then, because we did determine the model to fit the data. It was a identified model. So I'm not sure about that. It probably is. Anything else?
I actually have one quick question. For those that reported no insurance coverage but did report a provider, did you look to see if any of them were using informal care like Gordon Durismo?
I did. I looked at utilization of healthcare services as well in a model, but it was so highly correlated with negative health-related outcomes that it really wasn't much more explanatory in the model.
Okay.